Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The motorcade now is moving in motion. You can see there with your own eyes.
Just a few minutes from now, we do expect that the family will be arriving and the world will witness the memorial service for Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. You'll see the motorcade is just starting to get underway.
I'm assuming that one of the vehicles you're looking at, this hearse, is carrying the casket of Michael Jackson.
Right. As we look at the hearse leaving the scene, the casket is in the hearse.
The hearse, that is, looks like to be the fourth car in the motorcade.
And we're watching as that hearse pulls away.
We've been able to confirm that the casket will be at the Staples Center.
Wow.
And I say casket because it is not clear if Michael Jackson's remains will actually be in there. So we have to be careful.
One of America's greatest heroes. Greater than George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and Abraham Lincoln put together. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that a dancer with one white glove would top the founding fathers? Who would have thought? And now you wonder why America has fallen to this level. You have no idea why America's fallen to this level. Well, my friends, it's because of the Solenterates in the media. What I want to do today is cover some American music that's great rather than the garbage that Michael Jackson produced for children, really. I mean, children liked him. I don't know of any adult who ever listened to him. He was histrionic, danced around on the stage. I have no idea where the worship comes from. I had enough of it. I said the same thing about the Ronald Reagan Memorial. I said the same thing about the President Ford Memorial that went on for weeks. I feel as though I'm living in a nightmare. But this has gotten worse. And to think who's given the eulogy, Al Sharpton, the man who brought us deaths at Freddy's Fashion Mart, the man who invented the fact that there was, in fact, no attack upon Tawana Brawley, who smeared herself with feces and said that a detective smeared her with feces and it was white racism. He's giving the eulogy, quite fitting, actually. Now, if you think this is a racist rant, that's because your mind is perverted and distorted. Because I'm going to play the music of some black composers and musicians who are actually great. Let's, for example, begin with John Coltrane with Giant Steps. He is great music. Not from Michael Jackson, by the way. And this is something that Sharp Tongue or the others wouldn't even understand. All right, now here's another piece of great music by a great American, African-American at that. Duke Ellington, Take the A-Train. Listen to this one. Everyone knows this. No eulogies for Ellington when he died. You can feel the train rocking. If you've ever ridden the A-Train, you can feel it rocking. That's great music. Now, of course, here's another African-American. I'm sure he would turn over in his grave if anyone referred to him as an African-American back in the time, 1967. Here's Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower. You want to hear great music? Listen to it. How's that? No memorials for Jimmy.
I can't get no relief.
I guess we can add this to the Cesar Chavez Day next. It'll be Michael Jackson Day. A day that everyone in America must don a white glove or be arrested by the new federal police. How about a woman, a fabulous country and western singer, also authentic American music, Tammy Wynette, Stand By Your Man. How about this?
Stand by your man.
I guarantee you, this is fairly well known amongst people who are over the age of 9. All right, country and western. Now, how about some real American music along the lines of what we just heard from a different sort of composer? We heard George Gershwin's American in Paris. How about Fanfare, the Common Man by Aaron Copland? Hear of him lately? No, that's so beyond the Al Sharpton crowd. We wouldn't even expect. Break that record. Break that record. That would cause riots, I'm sure. How about Gershwin's American in Paris with the sound of Taxi Cab when he hit Paris? Isn't that kind of interesting and quaint? Quaint music. George Gershwin, never heard of him. Didn't wear one white glove. So far as we know, he didn't molest young boys. But then again, hey, it was a different time. He was a man who composed for the greatest generation. You might say that Michael Jackson entertained for America's worst generation. You might say that, of course. You wouldn't want to be heard saying it, but you could say it. All right, let's let it go. I made my point. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, and it's going to relate to this in a way. Last night, I was getting ready for bed around midnight, and I got a call from the police saying that a wild fox had been hit by a car running across the road, and it wandered onto my property, and it was injured, and they were going to send animal control over. So I said, all right, wait 20, 30 minutes. Police show up, animal control, they go around the property with a flashlight. I come out. You know, there are a lot of these animals are rabid. And I see this poor little thin baby fox, about the size of my poodle, scared to death in a cage. They had found it. And I asked the animal control officer about it. She said, well, his hind legs don't work anymore. And we're going to take it in and we're going to look at it, but we're probably going to euthanize it. I mean, it looked like a pet, you know, gorgeous animal, big eyes, elegant creature. I said, well, why do you have to euthanize it? She said, well, because most wild foxes are rabid around here. I didn't say anything because it's really not my call. It's their call. And I went back to my house and I listened to the mother fox crying all night. She was barking and crying for her cub, crying for her baby that had been taken away in the van by the animal control officer. I heard the mother calling for hours and hours. Apparently they both ran across the road, but the baby was not as swift as the mother. The baby got hit on the hind. The mother made it into the bushes, and apparently the baby limped along with broken hips or a broken back and lay there in the bushes till they found it. But I got to tell you something. As that mother cried for her baby cub, something in me understood the call of the wild, and I felt more sympathy for that dead fox. I felt more sympathy for the death of one rabid fox than for the death of Michael Jackson. Play some music, please. It's the Savage Nation.
Some kind of way out of here, said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
It is the Savage Nation. We're trying to comprehend how far America has fallen and how it's fallen this far, and the answer is the American media. As you well know, perhaps the worst in the world is what we have at ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and a few others. Unfortunately, it is the media driving the mental state of America into the toilet, which is why we have the politicians that we have. Now they're glorifying a musician. A musician, period. I don't know what he's done in recent years, but just simply a musician. Why have they turned him into an American hero, an American icon? George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Patton, Dwight D. Eisenhower. Who in the world would think that a musician would be worthy of such attention? Other than either the record companies who own his music who are pushing the media. It's probably one and the same. In combination with some other forces. There's got to be some commercial forces behind all of this because this makes no sense to anyone with an IQ above 90. Jerry in New York on WOR. Welcome. You're on the program.
Yeah, Michael, if I can just explain to you a little bit as well as your audience. Hello?
We're listening to you. Go ahead.
All right. The reason why there's such a phenomenon surrounding the death of Michael Jackson is what he transcended. You meant you played Hendrix music and those people of that era. His music started in the 70s, and here was a man, 50 years old, still making hits, selling out a record.
Okay, but Jerry, you're talking about a musician. He's only a musician.
I understand, but it
No, you don't understand. What I'm saying is he's only a musician. You don't understand that, do you?
Music.
He is getting the coverage equivalent to an American president. Does that make sense to you?
Music transcended all over the world. He helped people.
For what mental level? For what mental level did his music transcend all over the world?
All ages, my friend. Old people, young people.
Well, please, give me a break. All ages. Well, you may include Obama in that list, but you don't include me and my audience. I don't think there's anyone listening to the show who would rank him as great as George Gershwin, Aaron Copland, John Coltrane, Duke Ellington, Jimi Hendrix. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not, because those people put records out as well, and they can't touch his sales. That's
all right. So it's all about sales, then. I see. So it's about money you're talking about.
No, it's not about
money. All right, now I understand where you're coming from. He's great because he made a lot of money for Time Warner. Is that it?
No, he didn't have any.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, he's great because you're worshiping the almighty dollar. Have a nice day. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Anyone want to comment on the Fox story? Because as I said to you, I'm not moved by Michael Jackson's death. When I heard he died, I said, big deal. Who cares? I never listened to a Michael Jackson song in my life. I have never watched an entire television show at night with that bucktooth fraud who ridiculed Sarah Palin's daughter, David Letterman. I've seen it in passing. I know he's on TV. I think he's a talentless clown. I know that when his writers were on strike, he couldn't perform. So I figure he's nothing. But apparently there's a lot of Americans who like David Letterman, even though he's a talentless hack. And he himself said it. That all he does is pass bad jokes every night. And I think this guy was a mildly talented singer and dancer. I don't understand how you can see it otherwise. In other words, this is part of America's insanity. Insanity is the inability to order things. O-R-D-E-R. In order for a society to survive, there must be order in the society. When a society becomes disordered, anything can and anything might happen. And so people start to think, wow, he's great. You have to say, well, slow down, children. He's great compared to who? He's great compared to what? He's great compared for why? And once you start to analyze who the man was, what he did, who he really was, he's just a musician who sold a lot of records, basically to people with low intelligence around the world who liked his music. But it's not a great man you're talking about. It's not the man who invented the neutron bomb. It's not the man who found the cure for polio, is it? I mean, what are you talking about? So when you lack order, when you can't sort through the relativity of an individual's achievements, and you start to think that because a man sold records and he jumped around with a white glove, that he's better than Jonas Salk, and he's better than John Coltrane, and he's better than George Washington, he's better than General Patton, then you are a man who is disordered, and you're a product of your society. Your mind is broken. And don't think this has happened to you by accident. Your inability to sort and to order things is a product of a design of the government media complex to bring you down to the lowest common denominator of thought. And I want to go to a bigger political issue here because there is a relationship to a much larger political story going on here. I have told you repeatedly on this program, The Savage Nation, that one of the first things the communists do after a revolution in any country, if you study them, is they pull down the statues of the heroes of the nation. They wreck them. They destroy them. They wreck all vestiges of the civilization that they have just taken over. And I am telling you that the elevation of this ordinary singer to this level is part and parcel of the same mentality. First, they break down the real heroes, some of whom I just mentioned, most of whom I didn't mention at all. They've eliminated them from the public mind. And then they erect statues or mind images of their own heroes who make no sense to people with a sense of history and people with a reasonable education and intelligence. And that is why you people listening to this show today are shocked to see what's going on in your country. When you hear that your president says that he grew up listening to Michael Jackson, not to Chopin, not to Bach, not to Beethoven, he didn't mention one other classical musician, but Michael Jackson, and he said he has Michael Jackson's music in his iPod, and you see this president on training wheels pedaling all over the world in his mental tricycle saying, look at me, I'm great, I can save the world. You recognize the trouble you are in. That is my opinion. It is only opinion. It is one man's opinion. Take it or leave it. It's the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. If you want to talk about dying foxes, we can do that. If you love the memorial, I suggest you turn the show off because you're not going to hear a word of it on the Savage Nation. You could turn on one of the droolers for the next few weeks. I suspect he will be lying in state in the National Rotunda shortly. Elevated perhaps to a level unseen in the history of the country, all part and parcel, not only of, in the simplistic terms, the dumbing down of America, it's the elevation for the dumb of America of people who are relatively obscure in the schemata of the world in plain English. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is my website. Let's hear from the callers on the Savage Nation. Chicago, Patrick, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, you're so right. It's just sickening. Dumb down the country. You know, it's like Michael Jackson is the opium for the masses. Isn't that what the communists always did? Give them something stupid like this to focus on. Not that we just gave away a third of our missile system to the Russians for
That's
nothing.
Right.
Don't talk about the fact that...
No, don't talk about the fact that Hillary Clinton and Obama are now on the same side as Fidel Castro and Chavez and the Sandinistas in the Honduras situation. Make them focus on a man with a white glove.
Give them Michael Jackson. Give them this clown. It's the same thing. You know, you said it a couple of weeks ago. Turn your baseball cap around and go watch baseball.
That's right. Michael Jackson is for the crowd that wears their hats on backwards or really maybe sideways. Not for me, thank you.
Savage.
The Savage Nation celebrating real American musicians of the level of superb performance. Duke Ellington, Take the A-Train. So if you think it's about race, you're crazy. I've played Duke Ellington for years. If you think I'm just doing this to prove that I'm not a racist, you're the racist, not me. You want to start throwing the words around? Go ahead. Have fun. I've played Jimi Hendrix, Duke Ellington, and many, many others without any regard to what their race was. I like their music. Michael Jackson's music is for children, and not very bright children at that. Period, end of story. It's sickening. And I'm not the only person thinking this. I may be the only person saying it in talk radio, but that doesn't mean I'm the only person thinking it. I can guarantee you most of America is stunned by the idol worship being promulgated by these idol minds on the networks. Idol minds creating idol worship. And it's not over yet. It's just begun. Only one congressman said the right thing, Peter King. He reminded us he's a pedophile. And he was attacked, of course, by the usual suspects. Listen to Representative Peter King.
I just thought this had gone over the top. There was almost an orgy of glorification. Yes, he did violate young boys. He did put them in terribly inappropriate positions. And that's a terrible signal to be sending as a society that we're somehow condoning that behavior. And you are condoning it. When we give him this type of regal coverage, and you know, millions of people fighting to get to his mega memorial, I mean, this is just wrong. This glorification of Michael Jackson, I just thought somebody had to say, hey, let's end it.
Would you like to talk instead about Obama's insanity, bankrupting America to a level nobody can comprehend on the order of King Ludwig of Bavaria, fighting climate change? Climate change? That's like fighting God himself. You can't alter the climate. Everyone knows that. It's impossible. Man has tried to alter the climate from the beginning of time. Can't do it. Only the insane try to alter the climate. Alter the climate?
It's just an excuse to tax people who make money in order to give it to those who are too lazy or unfortunate to not have any. We understand who's running this. Al Corleone, the head of the Corleone Crime Syndicate. Al Corleone is going to make a fortune on this. General Electric's going to make a fortune on this. How many other people are going to make fortunes in the cap and trade con that's coming up? I read the article on this show last week of Goldman Sachs. They created the dot-com fantasy and bust. They created the housing bubble and bust. They made trillions of dollars, according to the article. And the article claims that it is Goldman Sachs behind the cap and trade con, which they claim will be the biggest con in the history of the world. We could talk about that. We can talk about his health care program. His health care program. Again, I was in an emergency room. I seemed to be visiting them all over the country. Sliced my finger with a really sharp knife. I didn't have a bread knife. Lucky for me, God designed fingernails, because when the knife came down, it was stopped by my fingernail, not by my skin. It only cut halfway through the fingernail, or else I'd have no fingertip. But, you know, I go into the emergency room, and here I am again, basically with immigrants around me. It was like instant care, you know. I didn't want to go to a hospital. The doctor was a Chinese man. He did a perfectly fine job fixing my finger. And most of the clients were from other countries. I know what the emergency rooms are like, and I asked them about medical care and health care, and what does he think of Obamacare? And I said, aren't you going to suffer? I said, isn't a man like you who struggles so hard, you came here from Vietnam, you went to an American medical school, aren't you going to suffer? You can't be looking forward to it. And he very diplomatically said to me, well, with all plans, there are pluses and minuses. That's because he's a man who left communist Vietnam, and he understands what happens when you speak your mind. You wind up banned in Britain. When you have a fascist dictatorship in the form of a liberal government, which is really a totalitarianism of a soft kind running England right now. And we are hopeful that this soft totalitarian regime in England will see fit to do the right thing and take Michael Savage off the banned in UK list. Otherwise, I'm going to have to sue them, and they're going to lose a lot of money and an awful lot of face, because I will win. They slandered me, and I suggest you go to michaelsavage.com and see what I am talking about. Remember, I am still banned in Britain. If you think it's fun and you think I'm enjoying the attention, then you don't know anything about anything. Then you actually probably think that Michael Jackson is a great musician. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Chesare, New York, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Hi. Each one of those people that you've been playing are true artists, and the reason why they're artists is because to be able to make the kind of music that they've made, you have to have a certain type of drive inside you that is not a drive for money. Now, at some point in Michael Jackson's career, he was doing work that was good, creative, but at some point...
You know what? I don't even want to analyze what was in his mind. We know he had a drug problem, but so did Jimi Hendrix. So far as we know, Jimi Hendrix didn't have it for little boys. Michael Jackson did. Could that be why Michael Jackson is revered by the people in the media? I don't know. I can't comment on that, but I thank you for the call. I really want to hear George Gershwin. Is this the Taxi song, or is this a different one? Okay, let me hear the Taxi song, and I'll tell you the story of it. Listen for a minute. Okay, Gershwin goes to Paris, 1920s, I believe. He's impressed with the sound of the horns in the Paris taxi cabs of the time. He gets taxi horns from taxi cabs, and he composes an entire piece of music called An American in Paris using horns from taxi cabs. I would consider that innovative. I would consider that genius. And, of course, so did the Americans who fought as the greatest generation. They were actually common men with uncommon minds and uncommon spirits. The average person who went to school in America in the 1920s, 1930s, probably received a greater education than people going to college today. I would think that anyone who graduated grade school by 1939 had a higher education and a greater understanding of the realities of the world than people graduating with a Bachelor of Arts in Sociology from NYU. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Jeff in San Fran, KNEW, thanks for calling. Topic, please.
Yes, Michael, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about the Fox and how I agree with you and feeling worse about the Fox dying and being in pain than Michael Jackson's death, and for one main reason, that Fox is innocent.
Thank you. That's right. The innocent Fox and the mother's cries. She barked for hours calling her cub. The cub was gone. She, you know, they both ran across the road. The mother made it. The young one got hit by a car and dragged himself across, you know, under the gate, and then laid there with a broken spine or hips or something. The mother was hiding somewhere else, but when the truck took the baby away, probably to euthanize it, the mother didn't suddenly say, oh, well, there goes my baby. I wonder if the government could help me. The mother cried throughout the night, barking for her baby.
That is true, Michael. And one other thing I wanted to say, too, talk about all these people holding up Michael Jackson as an idol, and you talk about these generals and stuff like that. You know what? He's no more important than Private Smith, who died, you know, defending our country, and they don't get some hero's welcome. You know, my grandfather took bullets in his leg in Japan. Nobody's out there, you know, helping
That's
him.
Right. Well, no, he was not a hero. He was just an ordinary, useful American for the powers that be. I hear what you're saying, my friend, and I want to go back to the Fox for one quick minute, not to milk it. But I got to tell you something. I go with my emotions sometimes, and I got to ask you something. Let me ask you a question, everyone else listening to the Savage Nation. Do you think there is something wrong with my soul that I was moved more by the mother fox's cries for her baby, the injured fox, than for the death of Michael Jackson, who I feel nothing for? Is there something wrong with me? Am I out of step with America? Do I need to be hospitalized and treated by Obama physicians? Do I need to be put on Thorazine or Melaril or some late model drugs in order to feel what the Congress feels, in order to feel what the media feels? Is there something wrong with me? Or do you understand where I am coming from? I'm asking you a dead-on question. I'm not doing it for effect. Florida, Connie, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Michael. How are you? Are you there?
I don't answer how on me. You don't know me. Don't ask me that. What's on your mind, please?
Well, my comment is I hear you rambling on about...
I am not rambling. I do not ramble. I give discourses. Perhaps you are used to people who ramble. Do not confuse me with one of those.
You and other media people forget how all the good things that man did.
Really? Now, what are the good things he did? I guess he provided giraffes for the boys he was playing with?
Oh, no, he ended up providing a lot of money to people overseas. He ended up providing education for people that wanted to go to college. He ended up providing money.
That's very nice, but does that elevate him to the level of a national shrine? Wait a minute, Connie, if you're not receiving, we're going to end the conversation. I did not say he was an evil man. I did not say he was a bad man. I said that the worship is disproportionate to the achievement. Do you understand that? Or is that too unrambling for you?
What he did is he brought a lot of people together.
You didn't hear a word I said, did you? Your ears are clogged with stupidity.
No.
Did you hear what I just said? Would you please rank the man in terms of his greatness? Where would you rank him? Equal to George Washington or higher than George Washington?
I have an education and I own a business. You're stupid.
I ask you a question and you're not answering it. You're shooting your mouth off. I am not the husband who you drove away from you, Connie. So listen again. I asked you to rank Michael Jackson with regard to other American icons. Please do so.
Well, I don't believe the media made him what he is.
You didn't answer me. Apparently, you're too rambling inside your head to even follow a question. I said rank him with regard to other American icons.
I would say he ranks in the middle.
In the middle? Who would be at the top of the rank?
Who would be in the top of the rank? John F. Kennedy.
Why would JFK be at the top?
Why would he be at the top? Because he is at the top. The other one is Prince.
Wait, what do you mean he's at the top? I asked you, why do you put JFK at the top of the rank of iconic Americans? Why him?
Why him? Because he was the president of the United States and he ended up dying for our country.
So because he took a bullet, that made him a great man?
I believe that he was a great man.
And what did he do as a president that you would consider great?
That Roosevelt was a great man.
Again, you're not answering the question, so I'll repeat it. What did JFK achieve or accomplish as a president that would rank him as a great man? What's the matter, Connie? Cat got your tongue? Logic apparently threatens the disorder between your ears. The rambling thoughts that bounce from the left to the right of your brain are suddenly challenged by a logical question for which there is no answer, because your brain is disordered. I'll be right back. think about this and be honest with yourself. Let's say you're one of the people worshiping at the icon of Michael Jackson. Did you give this man so much as a thought a month ago? Was he on your mind? Did you ever think of him? Did he ever enter your mind a month ago? Did he enter your mind? Michael Jackson. Every day you woke up, you had breakfast, and you thought, oh, my God, where is Michael Jackson? What is he doing now? You didn't think of him. He was nobody. So you have to ask yourself, how is it that you got swept up in this idol worship? Is it because he was so great? Or is it, as Michael Savage is suggesting, because the media has whipped you up into a frenzy and you were like a minnow caught up in a tidal wave and don't even understand that you're not thinking clearly. You're only being forced to act by the media. That's why I told you, be careful here. You've got to rank things. And you know, the last woman who called, she starts by insulting me. It turns out she has a disordered mind. She was actually threatened by my logic because she hasn't any herself. I've discovered something in my life. People who do not have logic are actually threatened by a logical question and a logical progression of thought. They don't know how to follow a thought, and they get nervous when you try to take them along. So I say to her, who was a great president? She says, John F. Kennedy. I ask her why. She said, because he took a bullet for the country. I said, because he took a bullet, does that make him great? What did he achieve as a president? She didn't know, and she hung up. Because I challenged another core feeling of hers that had no basis in reality. JFK was not a great president. By any means, by anyone's analysis, he was not a great president. I don't think there's anything he did that is particularly great. He got us into the Vietnam War, by the way. It wasn't Nixon, if you want to go back and remember history. JFK dragged us into Vietnam. He was quite a conservative president, by the way. By today's standards, he'd be a right-wing Republican. Unfortunately, we don't have any like him. I actually like JFK as a president. I think he was a good president, not a great one. But the fact of the matter is, he was not a Democrat, not a liberal, in any way, shape, or form. Incidentally, by today's standards, as I've instructed you on this program many times, he would be considered a radical right-wing Republican, to show you how far this country has slipped to the left, okay? So there it is. I think I've touched on this, but I mean, I'd rather go back to the animals. And I got to tell you personally, I don't give a lot of money away, but what I do goes to animals. I went to the Gorilla Fund, the Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund, the Diane Fossey Elephant Fund, and Wild Care in Marin County, and dog groups. At this point in my life, I feel more for the innocent creatures of the earth than I do for the, let us say, uninnocent human being. The human being doesn't appeal to me that much anymore by what I've seen. And you say, well, do you really have it in for Michael Jackson? I don't know the guy. I don't care about him. I never gave him a thought. In my entire life, I never gave him a thought. Yeah, Beowulf, what years was he popular in the most popular? Okay, the 80s. In the 80s, I happen to have young children. I never heard a Michael Jackson song in my house. They never listened to him. Why? They never brought it home, and I didn't throw it out the window. I did not throw their music out the window. They never liked him. I never heard that music in my house. If they brought it home, I would have, all right, it's the kids. They never brought it home. I certainly didn't listen to it, but even my children didn't listen to it. So where is this insanity coming from? It's generated by the media, again, government media complex, and of course the business interests. Make no mistake about it, there's fortunes being made in the sale of the records. So if you analyze who owns the media and the interlocking corporate directorships of who sits on the boards of ABC, CBS, NBC, and CNN, and then you see they also sit on the boards of the record companies or whatever, bingo, schmucko, there you go. That's all. Portland, Oregon. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. You know, you're talking about the fox. It brought me back to my youth. I had to euthanize a dog that got hit by the train.
Mm-hmm.
And it was horrible. And I remember to this day the feeling I had, exactly like you described. The fox got hit, couldn't walk, no back legs. Same thing with this dog. And it was in the ditch next to my house because we weren't poor. We didn't live in a fancy neighborhood for about mm-hmm. 4 weeks. And I think about that, and I think about this Michael Jackson glorification.
Yep.
I care more about that dog I euthanized than I do Michael Jackson.
I want to just get the story straight in my head because I'm not sure I followed it. A dog got hit by a train. It lay in the ditch. You found it. It wasn't your dog?
That's right.
And who euthanized the dog?
I did.
How?
I was 10 to 12 years old.
Now what happened? We lost him in Portland. Mike, are you there?
Yes.
Now, I want to hear the rest of the story. Now, I'm shocked. I think I've made my point. Can I move on now? My children didn't even listen to Michael Jackson. I have no idea what intelligence level is at the funeral, but I pretty much think that on a Fish Friday with three fish oil capsules per day for 3 weeks prior, they wouldn't strike a 95 IQ, would be my guess. Chicago, Ann, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, hi. I'm actually going to go ahead and agree with you because I feel that you've hit this right on the head. For the entire past week, while our country has been going down the toilet, all we've heard on the media, all we've heard on the radio is Michael Jackson. And yes, he could dance, yes, he could sing, but he's not a great man. So why is this man being personified?
Well, I'll give you three reasons. There's three words: Korea, Honduras, and Iran. Does that make any sense for you? Obama has failed with Korea. Obama has failed with the Honduras, and Obama has failed with Iran. So this is a wonderful way to throw smoke in the eyes of the ignoramuses.
I agree with you, and it just shows basically how stupid the American people are becoming because we're not even concerned about our own personal
freedom. Well, we are concerned on the Savage Nation, are we not? We represent 30 million people with a reasonable intelligence who understand this man was nowhere near worthy of what he is getting from the American media. But my friends, remember 1997, Michael Savage gave a speech at the Commonwealth Club. The title, Beware the Government Media Complex. Obama is failing. His poll numbers are falling. He's failed with North Korea. He's failed with Iran. He's failed with Honduras. Consequently, what could be better than to leave the country and to leave the country worshiping a man who's simply a singer? The dummies who elected him have a new hero.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
See what the atmosphere is like inside. Is it going to be like a concert? Is there going to be applause? Is the applause appropriate? You just don't know how to feel, and I'm curious to see what all the reaction is going to be. It's just a very interesting atmosphere here.
It is the Michael Savage Show trying to restore order in an insane world one day at a time. Welcome to the program. Say North Korea, Honduras, Iran, Obama runs to Russia, the media glorifies a singer, and the lemmings have no idea that Obama's ratings are plummeting. Now you understand how it all works together. Now throw in some profit, and you have the toxic mix of the Michael Jackson Memorial. Welcome to the program, 1-800-449-8255. I can give you some headlines. Our great chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mike Mullen, public relations man, saying that strike on Iran is an option but a bad one. Mike Mullen has never met a war he liked. Michael Mullen, the head of the United States military, has ordered our Navy to do nothing while North Korea fires missiles. Mike Mullen has ordered our military to do nothing while Iran threatens us. Mike Mullen has ordered everyone in the military to, I guess, take diversity training, not to take cannon training. And that's why we are where we are. We have an inept and impotent military firmly in control of the socialist pacifist administration. We have a president who is on training wheels, pedaling his psychic tricycle around the world's capitals, trying to gain some capital with world leaders and apparently gaining nothing. But the media, of course, not telling you what is really going on. If you care to talk about this insanity of this glorification of a singer who you thought nothing about 2 months ago, be honest with yourself. I can guarantee you that as near as a month ago, you had forgotten Michael Jackson. I can guarantee you that 6 months ago, you did not even know who Michael Jackson was. I can guarantee you that several months ago, you only thought of him as some guy who scarred his own face because he was crazy, and he also did weird things with little children that made you disgusted. And then you have to ask yourself, why are you caught up in this frenzy of worship? Because you are a mental minnow caught up in a tidal wave of propaganda, my friends. And if I have to fight the tide as I do every day on the show, and if that is my role in society, if that is my role in the media, I am made for it. 1-800-449-8255 will open it up to callers on the Savage Nation. 1-800, I gave you the number already, right? Okay, Fort Lauderdale. Michael, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, this is just another classic case of the media machine attempting to replace all of our cultural traditional icons with these newfangled progressive...
I wouldn't call Michael Jackson progressive. I mean, he played with boys. Does that make him progressive?
According to the 21st century liberal, absolutely.
I don't think that's the reason we're seeing the glorification, although there may be a scintilla of that in it. I believe it's a combination of an attempt to throw smoke in the eyes of the ignoramuses out there who don't want to, who the media do not want to understand that Obama has failed in Iran, North Korea, and Honduras, and that the fact of the matter is that Obama's popularity is rapidly declining. And I think this came along at the right time for the lunatics in the media to cover up the lack of action on North Korea, Iran, and Honduras, for example.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the call. That's all. Move on. Talked about a fox. We could do that. Washington, D.C., WTNT. Chris, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, Michael. I'm just sick and tired. I'm African-American of Al Sharpton being has been anointed by the media as the spokesman for Black America. This man is a charlatan. This man is a deceiver. He's a tax cheat. He is someone who has done terrible things.
Terrible things. He named Detective Pagonis, if my memory doesn't fail me. He and Tawana Brawley were found guilty of fabricating a story that this white detective had smeared feces on a Black woman and then brutalized her. It turned out he did this with her for attention and money. He also egged on a crowd that was outside Freddie's Fashion Mart in Harlem, and they set the store on fire, killing several people. And yet this thing is held up as a role model by whom?
I don't know. It is ridiculous. He is a liar. He had ran a campaign office out of Trump Tower and saying he was running it in Harlem. This man
I understand, Chris, but you see, as an African-American man, you're offended by him being held up as your leader, so to speak. But don't think that it reflects on your people any more than I think than holding up, let us say, a white person of low value speaking for me. I mean, does Al Gore speak for me? I think Al Gore is a phony who should be in prison for the lie he's trying to pull on the world, for example. I think he's a criminal. I think he's running a criminal enterprise and one of the greatest propagandists of all time who won't even debate actual scientists on this the myth of global warming. So who the media elevates has nothing to do with reality. I don't feel bad because Al Gore is held up as a role model. I think he's a complete fraud, the same way you do about Sharpton.
Fraud. He's a fraud, and he needs to be exposed. He does a disservice.
All right, let's go the other way. Let's be positive. As a white man, I hold up Clarence Thomas to me as a Black man who I respect. Who would you put in the top five?
In terms of people I respect, Black people?
Yes.
Well, I'd put Clarence Thomas. I'd also say somebody like... when J.C. Watts was in Congress, someone who stood up against the Congressional Black Caucus and their games that they play.
This is interesting. It's a great topic, Chris, because this is almost a very interesting topic unto itself. It is strange that both you, a Black man, and I, a white man, cannot name that many Black men who are heroic, truthfully, for their achievements, but yet there are many. And that is because the media will not let us know who they are. Because I would guess that if I were to find a Black surgeon living today who performed miracles in a hospital, he would probably be conservative politically and therefore of no use to the socialist agenda. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes.
All right, so it's the same here. Only those who can be used to move the socialist agenda forward, it doesn't matter what their races are held up as role models. You can find the same with Hispanics or with Asians. Try to name five great Asians, and yet there are more than five, I can guarantee you. And yet you're only going to hear about Cesar Chavez. Why? He was a communist labor leader. That's how it works when you have a communist media.
I mean, Michael Jackson, a man who changed himself, who was depressed, who was a drug addict, we're going to hold him up. And I mean, I worship God. I don't worship Michael Jackson. I'm sorry.
Now you're touching on another theme here, Chris. Beware of false idols. Do not bow down to false idols. Is that not what you are seeing going on in America today?
That's what I'm seeing going on.
It is idol worship of biblical proportions. It is idol worship of biblical proportions that we, the God-fearing, non-idol worshipers, are offended by. We are in sync with the ancients in the sense of the ancient Hebrews and the ancient Christians, to be honest with you. And I guess that's why we are hated by the state worshipers called the Marxist Socialist Obamaites.
Exactly.
Chris, look, I'm really glad you called because I was... One thing about some callers is they'll bring something out in you, makes you think. You help me think. I guess what it comes down to at the end of the day is that I don't worship man, okay? I was taught from childhood, do not bow down to man. Do not worship man. Do not worship false idols. And we are seeing a nation that has been so debased that it is literally worshiping a false idol who they didn't even know existed a month ago. Now, that's the strange part, is it not, Chris?
That's very strange.
The man was not even remembered a month ago. No one even talked about him. How did he suddenly become so important in a week?
Oh, because it's the deification, and they want to make messiahs out of people who have these flaws and put these up as examples to our kids. And they're not examples. They were
Chris, when you say he mutilated himself, did he not undergo surgery to alter his face to look like a different race?
He did. He did.
Well, that would mean that he's a man who was ashamed of his own heritage.
That's right, was ashamed.
So why would we hold up a man who mutilated himself because he was ashamed of his own ethnicity as a role model for children of that particular ethnicity unless you're trying to tell them they should be ashamed of themselves?
Right, exactly. And they try to Al Sharpton out to talk about, to put down...
No, it's unbelievable when you have a false idol like this, glorified, hero worship, and yet who's eulogizing him? A man who egged on a crowd with Freddy's Fashion Mart, the fire, and a man who made up a story about a white detective smearing feces on a woman. And the media doesn't say a word to this guy. When he goes on Fox News, they practically lick his boots. Have you seen it? Have you seen what they do with him on Fox News?
I've seen it. They call every opinion. They reach out to him. We need Al Sharpton's opinion. We need to find out.
By the way, can someone help me with this? Where did he get his divinity degree from?
I don't think he has one. It's called the Jack Lade Preaching School. That's the way.
Oh, you're bad. I'll be right back. No, I'm reading comments in newspapers around the country over this. I'm not the only one. Listen to this one. This was in the local San Francisco newspaper, and I agree with it. He says, I am trying to avoid the TV coverage of this, but I watched CBS long enough to see a garish gold coffin, real classy, and hear Katie Couric speaking in hushed tones like it was the funeral of a U.S. president. All this, he writes, for a child perv with a handful of number one hits. I mean, come on. By the time Michael Jackson died, he more resembled that 60s singer Tiny Tim than anybody else. The attention devoted to this goofball's death is a sorry display for our country and for Western civilization as a whole. Bravo. I didn't know there was anyone in San Francisco who could still write like that, but he did. Unbelievable to see this is going on a circus like this. It's unbelievable to me that we see so many millions of morons in the country not understanding what this is all about and how they're worshiping basically a false idol. And you have to ask yourself, and I'll go back and get it over with. It'll be over today. I pray to God by tomorrow. I doubt it. I think the jackasses in the media will not let this go because they don't want to cover North Korea and Obama's failure to respond. They do not want to cover the threat from Iran. They do not want to cover the fact that Obama and Hillary Clinton are on the same side as Fidel Castro and Chavez and the Sandinistas with regard to Honduras. They want the idiots to be continue to be useless and useful idiots. And so they then continue to blind them with this nonsense. So I have to do this. This is my job. 1-800-449-8255. It is the Savage Nation, unlike any other show in America, in so many different ways. No one's calling about the Fox. Elaine, Las Vegas, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, Michael, I just want to tell you, you're not crazy. It's normal to have, or let's put it this way, your heart is so compassionate. That's why you felt so bad for that fox, because I saw a rabid fox on the road one day, and I tried to get it out of the way, and I ended up getting my finger scraped, and I ended up getting the shots. But you're very compassionate, and I'm starting to study Jeremiah, the prophet, and you know what? He had such compassion for the people, and that's who you remind me of. And then the third thing, I do agree with your analysis of Obama, because
he's conveniently out of the country, is he not? Why is this man on training wheels always running away from America? Why is he out again? I mean, he failed us with North Korea. He did nothing. He failed us with Iran. He did nothing. He failed to support democracy in Iran. He failed to support democracy in Honduras. In fact, he's taking the side of the dictator, and he's conveniently out of the country, correct?
Yes, and that's my point that I wanted to add, is this man does not like to stay home. And the reason why he doesn't like to stay home is because fundamentally he does not know how to have healthy relationships.
Well, that's a psychological question that will take time to analyze. I did a piece back in October called Obama on the Couch, where I said he has a woman problem because of the way his mother was always leaving him behind. And I think that was a valid analysis. I think that at some point people will see that much of his megalomania and his narcissism is related to his upbringing. Thank you. I mean, what makes, you know, Sammy run and what makes a man tick? It's all related to parents and things of that nature. So why should he be any different is the question. New York City, WOR. Joe, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, there's a level of hypocrisy with this Michael Jackson thing that I think needs to be discussed. The Michael Jackson coverage with this media, this is the same media that worked feverishly to expose him as a pedophile several years ago, to call into question his mental fitness when he was changing his face and his skin color was changing. This is the same group of media that basically reduced him to a laughingstock. You mentioned that he was off the map on people's minds. Anytime his name was mentioned, he was a joke. He was
correct. I doubt that anyone listening to this show gave him much thought in the last years or months. Why all of a sudden is there almost a mass hysteria going on? How could the media make so many people think he was important? The same way that they took an unknown junior senator and elevated him to the level of a presidential candidate and now want you to believe he is a dignified, superb world leader, is the same group that is taking this singer who was unknown and forgotten and making America think that he is something other than a singer. It's the same media that elevated Obama that is elevating Jackson. That's how I see it.
And you have a collection of people who, by the way, were eating up these jokes. I mean, he was punchlines on things like Saturday Night Live, YouTube videos, and these are the people, I mean, now those same people who were eating all that stuff up are down at the Staples Center grieving.
Oh, you mean the people who were laughing at him on YouTube and all of that, and now suddenly they're worshiping him. Well, look, I remind you of a short story to read, The Day of the Locusts, and it was about a funeral in Hollywood in the 1920s or 30s. There's a great deal of simple celebrity worship here of people wanting to see celebrities. They could care less about Michael Jackson because they might see a skirt that flopped down on Sunset Boulevard on crack, for example. You know what I'm saying? They may get an opportunity to see one of the Sunset Boulevard sluts going by in a car, and God only knows what they'll get out of that. So there's a lot of that. Read The Day of the Locust. I think it was written by Nathaniel West, if I am not mistaken. I'll have to check on it. My memory may or may not fail me. It is not something I carry around. All about worship of false idols.
Savage.
Savage. It is the Savage Nation. I hope we can get through this tonight in the ordinary course of events. We're talking about an entertainer who died, who was unknown about a month ago, who was suddenly elevated to the status of an icon, an idol, and the American people, who have an intelligence level above a certain amount, cannot believe this. They're stunned by it. Because I can guarantee you that even amongst the hordes that are there, they probably forgot him as near as a month ago. I didn't even know who he was. It's astounding to me that you don't understand that the media did this to you. There are many reasons for it. Some commercial, some to help Obama, some simply because they like to do the lazy thing and it's easy for ratings. If you can get many, many people who basically have nothing else to do but watch television to continue to watch your channel, you show a gold coffin and they watch longer and your ratings go up. It's as simple as that. That's my opinion. What's yours? WOR New York calls, the Savage Nation. Dan in New York, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I don't think you have a racist bone in your body, sir, and I don't blame you for caring about the Fox more. That's your opinion. I just want to say a couple years ago, Luciano Pavarotti left us, and you played some of his music and honored him as a great artist. I just don't understand why you're denigrating those who want to honor this man as a great artist.
Well, but what does one thing have to do with another? Why would you elevate a great artist to the level of a national icon is the question, and why would the entire country come to a standstill for a great artist, if he is a great artist, which I doubt?
Well, the media is responsible for that, and I do agree with you that they're out of control on this issue, but I think most rational Americans...
Now, how could you call him a great artist? How could you rank him as a great artist?
Made phenomenal music, and you don't agree with that, and that's fine, but I believe he was a tremendous, freakishly great dancer and a wonderful singer, and he made great songs that totally transformed the culture of this country.
Hold on. Don't get carried away, if you don't mind. He transformed what culture? Which part of the culture? Which demographic of the culture? You want to get down to the reality of what you're saying? The whole country worshipped his singing and dancing?
Not the whole country necessarily, but metaphorically, the songs that he created, the music.
Well, I would like to know, explain this to me, help me with this. My children were children in the 80s. They never brought home a Michael Jackson CD or record. Why?
Because
some of them had AC/DC are found in the drawer. I found other music. I never found the Michael Jackson cut piece. Why is that if he was so great?
Because they didn't take to his music, and that's fine.
All right, fine. So therefore, he has a limited audience, a certain demographic. I wouldn't elevate him to the level of a great musician or a great performer. Probably a very skilled performer, but he was not in the category of a great one.
People bought the Thriller record than any record in the history of mankind.
Again, you're going back to numbers again. So by numbers alone, you now fall into the category of a blind worshipper, because he sold a lot of records?
I'm not a blind worshipper. He sold a lot of records because people bought the records.
Why does that make it great?
I believe, in my
opinion... Well, a lot of people voted for Obama. Does that make him a great president already?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last comment.
I said a lot of people voted for Obama. Does that make him already a great president?
No, and I don't think he is a great president.
That's what I'm saying. So just by numbers, you can't come to a conclusion.
It has to do with opinion. I believe he was a great musician.
All right,
artist.
So that has to do with opinion. So you actually carry around his music and listen to it in your iPod?
I have some of his music. When I was a young man, I really, really was a big fan of him.
I'm not going to try to take that away from you. That's not the point of today's show. I'm trying to do a relative ranking, for example, of him as an entertainer and certainly of him as an icon. I don't believe he's a great icon. I don't believe he's an iconic figure. And I'm putting his flaws aside.
And that's fine. But what I'm commenting on... You know, you called the people who were at the Staples Center of a low IQ, like they're stupid. They're not all stupid. They just love this guy's music.
Really? How come they didn't remember him as near as a month ago?
I think a lot of them did, but when someone dies, people remember, because he's
dead. I don't know. How old are you, Dan? Come on, you're pulling my leg.
I love you, man. You're the best. I just disagree with you on this.
All right. As I said, we don't have to be angry. How about this? Play Duke Ellington's Take the A-Train for Dan. I want to hear what Dan has to say. Dan, listen to this piece of music. There. Dan, you can feel the train shuttling down the tracks, can't you?
Absolutely. That's
all right. Hold on. Now play Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower. Let's hear this.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
Tell me what you feel, Dan. You feel like you're Stone standing inside the Diamond Head Arena on Mescaline or something in the 1969. And what do you feel, Dan?
Jimi Hendrix is one of my favorite artists of all time.
When I hear Jimi Hendrix, I think of Cool Onions. And don't ask me why. I could give you the answer, but you'll never believe it. Dan, no, seriously. When I hear Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower or a Purple Haze, I think of Cool Onions. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Because at that time in my life, I was living in Hawaii, and Jimi Hendrix lived in Kula, which is up on Mount Haleakala, and Kula happens to be a great place for growing onions. They're very sweet onions.
you're a foodist.
So I associate Jimi Hendrix with great onions. What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that, but don't tell me he wasn't freakishly great on the guitar.
He was, but he was not an American icon on the level of Abraham Lincoln.
I don't think Michael Jackson was an icon of that stature.
Thank God. That's all I'm saying. Yet he's getting the same treatment as a president who died.
All right, but in terms of music, which is
all right, Dan, I think we can go away and split the difference here and not be angry at each other. If you're so intelligent that you can follow me and love me and still like Michael Jackson, then I love you.
You're the man.
Hey, Dan, what do you think about my Fox story?
I think your Fox story's great. Listen, I understand that. I totally respect
it. I'm telling you, look, the truth is that the mother crying and barking in the night for her baby who had been hauled away in the truck, half dead, that was going to be euthanized, and her not knowing it, the call of the wild went right through my heart. I became atavistically sad by that bark of the fox. You know, as soon as this show is over, the time on the East Coast is 20 minutes to 8. It's 20 minutes to 5 on the West Coast, and of course the times in between are what you know them to be. As soon as this show is over, I'm going to actually go for a walk on a beach with a bottle of beer in my hand. So trust me, at the end of the show, I could care less about Michael Jackson and the funeral, to be honest with you. I don't care one way or the other. I think it's a delusion, and I think it's a mark of the media's control of the popular mind. So what more can I say about it? I mean, what more can I say about it? Is there anything more to be said that I didn't say already today? Here's another story. All right, here's something more to be said. Okay. Apparently, so many House staffers are watching the MJ Memorial this afternoon on their computers that the offices in Washington, D.C. closed. They crashed the computer system in our government. All the offices closed this afternoon. The halls are empty. They were all watching it. All the interns, all of the morons who run our government day by day, the idiots who you put in office and their assistants, crashed their computers watching the Michael Jackson Memorial. They all were in tears. He was not a civil rights leader. I mean, if he was a civil rights leader, you could say, all right, excellent, he did something for society. He wasn't a civil rights leader. The guy was a stone freak. Mutilated himself surgically, tried to become white-skinned, played with boys. You want to go down the list? I mean, all of us are flawed. You understand that? So let's forget his personal flaws. He's just an entertainer. That's all he is. Period. End of story. Well, what is Obama doing in Russia is the real issue. What is Obama giving away in Russia? Well, let's start with yesterday. He offered to give up one-third of our nuclear weapons at a time when we need more nuclear weapons, not fewer. Why would he do that? Why is he giving up nuclear weapons at a time like this when Russia and China are increasingly, shall I say, militant, if not militaristic? Why would he do this? Why is he taking apart our military at the joints? And why is that not a huge story? I mean, you can pretty much figure it out. And one day you're liable to wake up and we will be relatively defenseless. And we will be putty in the hands of really bad people, let me tell you. Larry in Fort Lauderdale, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Good evening. It's the feminization of our society. It's the same reason that Oprah Winfrey is relevant, the same reason American Idol is as popular as it is. It's the same reason that Barack Obama got elected. George Barnum has just written a book on his research about young adults and how they base their decisions purely on emotions, no more logic, and it's the parents' fault because they haven't taught their children, oh, yeah, are going to have emotions as they're growing up, but need to be let out of that as they mature. And it's just
but the parents themselves don't know how to reason and live on emotion. I don't know if you've been listening to the show tonight, but I had a caller in the last hour, a woman who got mad at me. And she said, well, I've been listening to your ramblings, but Michael Jackson was great. And I had to slowly try to have a reason. Did you hear that call?
I'm not sure.
Well, okay, you didn't. That's okay. But she could not reason with me. She got offended by my reason. And I said, well, who was a great president? She said, John F. Kennedy. I said to her, why? She didn't have an answer. She said, well, he took a bullet for the country. I said, that doesn't make him great. What did he do as a president that made him great? She couldn't answer, and she hung up. Because she herself has no capacity for reason. She has only emotion. You understand, Larry? That's what you're saying. Is that right?
Absolutely. Exactly what the media is doing right now. They're just leading the people. And they're
yes, they're leading the people. They're like children being led by the Pied Pipers of the media. And they're doing it for many reasons. Ratings certainly are one. To cover up Obama's falling ratings, number two. To cover up Obama's failures with Iran, with North Korea, with the situation in Honduras, a complete abject failure on every front, a man who is bankrupting the Treasury to an extent that no one can comprehend, again covered up by the very same vermin in the media. I have nothing but contempt for this generation of people in the media. They have destroyed this country. And I will tell you again, you may say the political class is awful and you are right, but guess who created them? I'll tell you who created them. The media created them. They're a product of the media. That's why we have men like Harry Reid. That's why we have people like Nancy Pelosi. That's why we have people like Al Franken in office, because the media has created their popularity and covers up their flaws. And consequently, men like me, who many of you consider to be quite a decent person and quite an accomplished man, are vilified by the very same vermin in the media. But they haven't been able to get rid of me yet, have they? Now, they're working on it, I agree. They've gone to their British fascist cousins, and they have put me on a banned in Britain list. Well, too bad for Britain. I didn't plan on going there anyway. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, Mississippi Tim. You are on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. I cannot believe I'm wasting breath on Michael Jackson. I'll get to the media here in just a second, but if all those people who want to feel bad about somebody dying want to do that and want to do that productively, they ought to go to Dover and watch some of our servicemen come back and box us.
Amen. Amen. I agree with you, Tim. And that's the second great tragedy of all of this. To understand how many men have died and are dying on a daily basis for our nation who get zero respect from the media.
Yeah, that's irrespective of whether you believe the war is good or not. These guys are there doing their duty. But here's my point, I think, Michael, and I talk to you for hours because we agree on almost everything. The media is doing this. Obviously, there are political ramifications to it.
Yes.
The only way to stop the media is to turn them off.
That's correct. But remember this, and here's the problem, John. They have a captive audience of stay-at-home moms, welfare recipients, and others who sit at home all day long watching television. They drive the ratings on television. It's a very big story. It's a hidden secret. But the entire media is driven by numbers. And the numbers generally are a lower level of society. Let me put it to you that way. Gauged by a relative lack of productiveness. And consequently, they are continuously pulling the nation down to a lower common denominator.
And that's exactly what this administration wants, for this country to be hijacked.
Well, who do you think elected Obama? How do you think this unknown junior senator who did nothing in his life except put up posters on telephone poles, how did he become president? Other than you had a media-driven candidate turned into a celebrity, and then, of course, they stimulated the masses with the same hysteria that they are doing with Michael Jackson. I got to run along, my friend. Thanks for being so kind. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Hopefully this madness will be over by tonight. I doubt it. I believe that the media frenzy has only just begun. I believe you're going to be regaled with this madness for days and days and days. And that is because Obama is giving away America's sovereignty on his little tricycle that could. Missouri John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, as a somewhat educated American soldier, I find this disturbing, of course, but also very fascinating. I'm in the airport yesterday, and on the news, they interrupt the deification ceremony of Moloch Jackson for about 45 seconds to mention that Robert McNamara had passed. So I asked the bartender, have you ever heard of Robert McNamara? She said, no, of course. And I said, well, he didn't have any hit singles, of course. But
Robert McNamara was a horrible defense secretary who accounted for largely for the failure of the troops to win in Vietnam. In other words, the troops didn't fail. It was McNamara's war strategy that caused the loss in Vietnam. A much greater man than McNamara was a man named Curtis LeMay, who I talked about yesterday on the show. But go on, please.
Yes, sir. But he, whether you agree with his policies or not, he had an effect on history. The woman you talked to earlier on the phone, not only did she show an inability to reason, but she also showed a lack of perspective and the inability to view things historically.
Correct.
Like when you asked her to rate American iconic figures.
Yes.
And that's how vapid and how uneducated the majority of the sheeple have become, that they're completely unable to distinguish. I mean, they really think that this guy did something for the country. And whether McNamara was a good or bad man, the effect he had on history is palpable and significant. And they have no clue. And I think...
All right, you make a good point. In other words, he was significant in that regard.
Absolutely. And the media...
Yeah, but, you know, I don't want to just argue with you rhetorically, but you could say Michael Jackson was significant within the world of music amongst a certain demographic. I think you could say that.
Oh, absolutely you could, but it's,
To me, Zip, nothing, nada. Nothing. Never liked his music. Always looked at him as an idiot. Whenever I saw him jumping around on the stage, I looked with somewhat one eye raised, like, what is this all about? I never understood it.
Yeah.
I never understood the man's appeal because I thought he appealed to little children, frankly.
He's just a dancing singer, and these people venerate him as if he's had some sort of...
Well, that's because the media and the entertainment industry are one. Let us not forget there's big money involved, there's records and such. See, these are selling like crazy, and you only got to look as far as who is on the board of ABC, CBS, NBC, and Turner to understand that they're probably involved in marketing some of his products, his music. And so, therefore, the more they talk about him, the more they can sell. So there's a business element here. And this is why wise people, mainly liberals, argued for years, do not let too much of the media fall into too few hands. Because once you have a crossover between news and entertainment, you're going to have neither news nor entertainment. And that's where we are today, my friend. Did you hear what I just said? They didn't put it in those terms, but I just did. Once you permit a crossover in management and ownership between news and entertainment, you will have neither news nor entertainment. And so, therefore, what I mean by that is certainly we don't have news. We have sort of a news entertainment. And we don't really have entertainment anymore. It's like something other than real entertainment. It's a product. It's like a factory-made turkey as opposed to a naturally grown turkey. Let's put it to you that way. If you like naturally raised fowl, you understand the taste or wild game itself, as opposed to, let us say, a frozen turkey at Thanksgiving that tastes as though it was a frozen turkey that was just defrosted. To me, Michael Jackson's music has always been nothing but a frozen turkey imperfectly thawed. I cannot put it any better than I just did. A frozen turkey imperfectly thawed. Mark that one down and put it in bronze, not on ice. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Never forget where Obama is. Never forget that Obama is giving away the store. Do not forget that he failed on North Korea, failed in Iran. He's on the wrong side of the Honduras issue. And this is just perfect, is it not, for the sheeple.
Savage.
Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are some of what we were discussing today in the Savage Nation. Michael Jackson madness. The media makes morons, junkies, and pervs into heroes. And now they're making Michael Jackson into a national treasure. A saint, even. He's getting more media time than Ronald Reagan got when he died. You'd think they were planning on having him lay in state in the rotunda of the Capitol. Stay tuned. The media is making a freak into a prince. He turned himself into a sideshow freak. But now the media is enforcing a national amnesia over his madness. Even the president, who had two young daughters and should know better, is praising Jackson. Mr. President, please stick to politics and stop praising madmen. Al Franken sworn in. Al Frankenstein has finally been sworn in as a so-called senator. What a spectacle on the floor of the Senate. Biden read the oath, and there were several minutes of sustained applause. From a comedy club to the ultimate comedy club of the United States Senate, welcome Al Frankenstein. We also talked about Night of the Dying Fox. Last night I told you a story. I told you a story about something that happened to me last night about midnight. A rabid fox came onto our property after it was hit by a car, and the authorities called us to tell us about it. All night long afterwards, I heard its fox mother barking out its laments into the dark night, calling for its young baby fox. Frankly, it was heartbreaking to listen to the mother fox calling for her baby who had been taken away to be euthanized. Even a rabid fox provoked more emotion in me than the death of Michael Jackson. The Michael Jackson Memorial. The demented coverage of the Michael Jackson Memorial happens to be one of the worst media spectacles in my memory. All day long, empty skirts and empty suits flying, giddy in anticipation of the funeral of this singer. First, all the cameras were focused on the cemetery, Forest Lawn. Then all the cameras were focused on the hearse driving to the memorial. And all the while, an endless stream of babble and chatter went on in the background. Let's listen in.
I want to point to our audience, the motorcade now is moving in motion. You can see there with your own eyes.
Just a few minutes from now, we do expect that the family will be arriving and the world will witness the memorial service for Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm. You'll see the motorcade is just starting to get underway.
I'm assuming that one of the vehicles you're looking at, this hearse, is carrying the casket of Michael Jackson.
As we look at the hearse leaving the scene, the casket is in the hearse.
The hearse, that is, looks like it to be the fourth car in the motorcade.
And we're watching as that hearse pulls away.
We've been able to confirm that the casket will be at the Staples Center. And I say casket because it is not clear if Michael Jackson's remains will actually be in there. So we have to be careful with our language in painting the story of what is happening here.
The hearse carrying the body of Michael Jackson,
covered with flowers,
to what will be a celebration of his life.
The motorcade, hearse,
motorcade,
hearse,
the hearse,
casket,
hearse,
casket,
motorcade,
casket,
the hearse.
The hearse, the coffin, the tires, the road. It was like OJ all over again, on and on and on. It would have been one thing if this had been a president or someone significant. But Michael Jackson was only a singer, and not a great one at that. Throughout the course of musical history, there have been great composers. Jackson was not one of them. Here, listen to some of their works and his work side by side. You'll hear greatness next to less than mediocrity. Play it.
Thank you.
Now that's real music. The last one is from Aaron Copland, a great American composer. Now it happens that he was both a homosexual and a communist, but that has nothing to do with the fact that he was able to compose great music. In the same way Michael Jackson, though he was a demented public figure, he made music that was not very good. The music was just not very good. Children liked it. But let's get back to the media coverage. Here's one of the morons on MSNBC talking about what the atmosphere at the memorial will be like.
I think it's just going to be a very interesting day to see what the atmosphere is like inside. Is it going to be like a concert? Is there going to be applause? Is the applause appropriate? You just don't know how to feel, and I'm curious to see what all the reaction is going to be. It's just a very interesting atmosphere here. I don't mean disrespect at all, but it's almost like a circus-type atmosphere. It's, you know, people are selling Michael Jackson memorabilia. You know, they're selling the T-shirts. It's just a... I don't know how to describe it other than odd, so I'm very curious to see what it's going to be like inside and how it's going to unfold and what the family's reaction is going to be. I'll be watching them during the service.
And as you've seen, Al Sharpton has swooped down on all these proceedings like the vulture that he apparently is. The media idiots were even talking about what a boost this funeral is for Sharptongue's career and the rivalry between him and Jesse High Jackson. You're not going to believe your ears. Listen to this one.
We talk about Reverend Sharpton doing the official eulogy, not Reverend Jackson. A very interesting sort of generational shift I see there, sort of the unofficial title of number one black reverend in black America, shifting there from Jackson to Sharpton.
And then came the memorial itself. 3 hours of pabulum and bad music and preaching from Sharptongue. Frankly, it makes me long for the dyslexic speeches of George Bush. Now, I'm going to tell you a story, and it's going to relate to this in a way. Last night, I was getting ready for bed around midnight, and I got a call from the police saying that a wild fox had been hit by a car running across the road, and it wandered onto my property, and it was injured, and they were going to send animal control over. So I said, all right, wait. 20-30 minutes, police show up, animal control, they go around the property with a flashlight. I come out, you know, there are a lot of these animals are rabid. And I see this poor little thin baby fox about the size of my poodle, scared to death in a cage. They had found it. And I asked the animal control officer about it. She said, well, his hind legs don't work anymore. And we're going to take it in and we're going to look at it, but we're probably going to euthanize it. I mean, it looked like a pet, you know, gorgeous animal, big eyes. Elegant creature. I said, well, why do you have to euthanize it? She said, well, because most wild foxes are rabid around here. I didn't say anything because it's really not my call. It's their call. And I went back to my house and I listened to the mother fox crying all night. She was barking and crying for her cub, crying for her baby that had been taken away in the van by the animal control officer. I heard the mother calling for hours and hours. Apparently, they both ran across the road, but the baby was not as swift as the mother. The baby got hit on the hind. The mother made it into the bushes, and apparently the baby limped along with broken hips or a broken back and lay there in the bushes till they found it. But I got to tell you something. As that mother cried for her baby cub, something in me understood the call of the wild, and I felt more sympathy for that dead fox. I felt more sympathy for the death of one rabid fox than for the death of Michael Jackson.
Savage.
Time magazine reported that in the 1970s, marijuana became the most widely accepted illegal indulgence since drinking had been banned during Prohibition. I have talked about how pot use and the insanity of liberalism often go hand in hand. Now one of the most notorious traffickers in the 70s was named Jimmy Morey, better known by his nickname Jimmy Devine. The story of Jimmy Devine is a bizarre journey told in a new book entitled Weed Man. Joining us now to talk about the story is the author John McCaslin.
Thank you, Michael. It's great to be with you.
Well, who was this pot smuggler, Jimmy Devine?
Well, you know, I had no idea who Jimmy Devine was probably 2 years ago. And, of course, I work in Washington. I write a political column, so this is not my usual beat. But I was down in the Bahamas. My brother and I have a tiny house on a tiny island. It's a very old place that around 1700. It's the oldest settlement in the Bahamas, and it's a quarter mile wide by 3 miles long, this island. You have to get to it by boat. So we have this house, and one day the baker on the island picked me up in the golf cart. There's very few cars or trucks on this island, and he drove me up to the beach to meet two of the locals. It was a husband and a wife. She was Canadian, and it was just, again, acquainted, meet-your-neighbor type thing, and I went in and I listened to the most incredible stories that are all in the book now, told by Jimmy Moree, whose nickname is Jimmy Devine. And I realized after 2 hours of listening to these stories that he had never told me what he had done for a living to have experienced these incredible, hilarious things, and so I asked him, and he looked at his wife, and he said, should I tell him? And he went ahead and explained, and I since corroborated that he used to be, for just about a dozen years, the biggest marijuana trafficker between Colombia and the United States. He would take all the drugs through the Bahamas and into Fort Lauderdale, mostly, where they had a compound set up. And they stumbled into it, he and his gang, if you want to call him a gang. Jimmy was a law-abiding citizen until he stumbled upon a bale of marijuana on the beach, and when he sold all these bales to one of his local buddies, he realized how lucrative it could be, and the rest is history. He had a 12 years nonviolent. They didn't feel they were doing anything wrong because they were all very religious, and a lot of the island was working alongside him, including law enforcement at that time. And they never really thought they were doing anything wrong. They knew, of course, it was illicit, the trafficking that they did, but it wasn't near as violent and organized as the cocaine trafficking that followed it.
How did he grow into one of the biggest dope smugglers in the U.S.?
Much of the book, about half of the book, is an incredible reflection of what life was like in the Bahamas. He's now about almost 60 years old. To grow up on this tiny little place, he weighed almost 14 pounds when he was born, and I had a hard time believing that until I went online and realized that while it is unusual, it's not unheard of. There's a lot of 12, 13, and 14-pound babies out there that tip the scales in their hometowns. And so Jimmy was sent to live with his aunt in New Providence in Nassau. And she was a God-fearing woman, and she raised him in the Church of God, and he went to the Catholic parochial school, and then he went on to a Baptist and Methodist high school and then got a scholarship to college. Jimmy would eventually steal the identity of his Catholic priest whenever he would go down into Colombia to meet with the cartel. He would go dressed in the full garb of a Catholic priest. He would be blessing the immigration officers in Miami upon arrival in Colombia. He never paid for anything. Everybody thought he was bigger than life, being a priest, seldom seen in the mountains of Colombia, especially dressed to the hilt as he was in his ecclesiastical garb. And he was Father Jerome Constantinkus, who was his principal at the high school. He just stole his identity. It was an amazing life. Everybody from law enforcement worked alongside him, as you'll read in the book. He had a couple police officers that knew what he was doing and actually collaborated with him to sell some of the marijuana. And as you know, as history tells us, the Prime Minister of the Bahamas at the same time, shortly thereafter, was all but indicted. But he was linked to aiding the cocaine trafficking. So there was much corruption back then. But again, Jimmy despised the cocaine. It killed his partner in the end, cocaine, and he didn't like what it did to people. Jimmy was a teetotaler and is to this day. He doesn't drink. He never has. He's never smoked a cigarette. And believe it or not, all the tons of marijuana he brought into the United States, he's never tried marijuana.
So he didn't smoke it himself? How did he become such a big shot?
He was jogging on the beach. He's very health conscious. He used to be the top kickboxer growing up in Nassau as a child. People would actually come to see him. They would pay to see him kickbox in tournaments in Nassau. And he was always health conscious, and he became a scuba diving instructor on the island of Abaco after he left Nassau. He had just gotten married. He was out for a jog on the beach. He was jogging before Americans were jogging, mostly. And as a scuba diver instructor, again, he was still in great shape, and he jumped over on this remote stretch of beach a bale of marijuana, and then he jumped over another one, and he realized, you know, what they were. There were about 40 of them that floated in. He drove to talk to his friend Sarge, the police sergeant, on the island, and he said, all these bales are washing ashore where I jog. And the policeman went down there with him, and he looked right at Jimmy, and he said, you know anybody that wants to buy it? They each made several hundred thousand dollars total on getting rid of that marijuana. And the person that Jimmy sold it to, who he knew from Nassau, was already dealing with the Colombians, bringing in freighter fools, and Jimmy became his partner, and they worked together up until the day they were indicted by Uncle Sam. But the stories are hilarious, how they avoided the law enforcement, where they hid the marijuana. It would be hidden in churches, in the basement of churches. The close calls they had are unbelievable, how they would trick both American and Bahamian law enforcement. And there was very little Bahamian law enforcement back then because of the corruption, and they just didn't have the boats until they were supplied by the DEA. But one of the funnier, more clever parts of the book is when they bought a compound. They bought three houses in Fort Lauderdale in a very nice neighborhood on a canal, and they pretended that they were owned by three different people. They called the Fort Lauderdale Police Department on the phone. The police department came over, and they said, hi, I'm so-and-so. This is Jimmy, and this is George next door, and we want to start a neighborhood crime watch program. So they started a neighborhood crime watch. They all got signs in their front yard saying, you know, this is crime watch area. We will report any suspicious activity, blah, blah, blah. So the police never worried about them.
Well, John, we're out of time in this segment. Can you join us over the break to finish up?
I'd be very happy to stay aboard.
Savage.
We're back speaking with John McCaslin about his new book about a drug smuggler. John, how did Jimmy Devine ultimately get caught? And thank God he did.
Jimmy was retired for 2 years. He had moved back to Nassau. Ronald Reagan was the president by then. And, of course, Ronald Reagan, unlike some of his predecessors, was cracking down on drugs, especially with Nancy Reagan in her Just Say No campaign. And interdiction became big time then. We had a couple of DEA agents killed. One in Colombia was assassinated, and then Enrique Camarena in Mexico City was kidnapped and tortured. I actually flew down to Mexico City to cover that as a reporter when Ed Meese was the attorney general. And so Jimmy was retired and living in Nassau. The DEA, the FBI, Customs, Immigration, everybody was involved then in the fight against drugs, including the U.S. military. There had been no police presence at all, and then suddenly, 12 years later, they're using military satellites to track drug planes and drug shipments by boat. And Jimmy was in Nassau. He had more money than he ever knew what to do with. And one of the great things that I forgot to mention that you'll read in the book, Jimmy was a Robin Hood-type guy, although he didn't really steal from the rich because he was operating illegally. But he took a lot of the money he made. He went back to this little island where he grew up. And every time he went back, he would take envelopes full of cash. I'm talking $10,000 in cash. He would give one envelope to the mother in the house or the wife in the house, another envelope to the husband in the house, because he knew if the husband got the envelope, the wife probably wouldn't see it. That's the way the culture was back then. So he would take an envelope for each. He did this repeatedly for all the neighbors down there that helped care for his mother when he couldn't be there after he was sent to live with his aunt. She was a very sickly woman. And he put so many of their children through college. And I'm not talking about college in the Bahamas. I'm talking about colleges in the United States, because the Bahamas doesn't really have many, maybe perhaps one in Nassau. So Jimmy was a very thoughtful person, if you can be thoughtful with money that is earned illegally. But he was back in Nassau. He was renovating. He was actually building a small apartment house, and he was going to keep one of the apartments because he had been a carpenter growing up in Nassau under his aunt, who had a construction company. And he's still doing it to this day, believe it or not, on Little Harbor Island, where the book opens up and where I have my house. And he was there, and he got a phone call from his partner, who's known as the chief in the book because we didn't want to identify him. And the chief said that I'm in a federal institution in the United States. I've been arrested. I've been indicted. You have also been indicted. You'll be arrested soon if you haven't yet. And Jimmy, what he did was cooperate with Uncle Sam. He cooperated with the DEA first in Nassau. Then when he told them about one shipment he had done in apparent collaboration with the CIA, or at least these two guys identified themselves as CIA operatives, and that's an incredible story, an incredible chapter in the book, which brings us back to Washington, D.C. for at least one chapter. And when Jimmy told him what he did on that operation, and when he told him everything he could tell them about the cocaine traffickers, they made him a government informant. He was given a government ID number. He was given a code name, which was Blue. He cooperated with the authorities. He turned in some of the big coke dealers. Instead of getting dozens, if not 50 or more years in federal prison, Jimmy was only given 5 years, which he served in two different federal prisons in the United States, one in Florida, one in Louisiana. I can tell you he didn't even serve the full 5 years before he got out, so he basically was slapped on the wrist at the most. And the only thing now is that they took all the money that he had in some of the foreign banks, but they didn't take all his money and told him he can never come back in the United States. So for my book parties here in Washington in the last couple of weeks, he could not attend. He can go anywhere else in the world, so he goes to places like London and Paris for Christmas.
Well, what do you want people to get from the book? That smuggling dope is good? That he was a great man?
You know, it's an adventure. I think the people that have read it, and it's gotten great reviews so far, compare it to an island tale, an island adventure. Many of them can't put it down. You can read the book easily in a couple of days. It's a very quick read. It's just 299 pages, I believe, and written in a flowing style. You know, I don't try to say anything in the book about marijuana legalization, whether I think it should be. That, of course, has cropped up again suddenly in the news, so the timing is good. In terms of legalization of marijuana, of course, President Obama, who has admitted to smoking marijuana and doing even harder drugs, he says he does not think that's an answer to fixing the economy, even though groups like NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, say that if you regulated marijuana like you did tobacco, which the Obama administration is getting more involved in, obviously, or alcohol more likely, then you could put $114 billion, that's $1 billion, into the economy every year. But that's not going to happen. There's too many hot spots in the world that Barack Obama's worried about, mostly health care reform and global anti-global warming legislation and all these wars we're fighting and threats from countries like Iran and North Korea. So don't expect anything like that, and I don't take any position. This is a pure tale, an island tale. People will enjoy it. Some will like Jimmy Devine. Others will say, gee, you know, I can't believe he got away with this so long. These law enforcement officers weren't very good, but it took him a long time to catch John Dillinger, too. So I think you'll enjoy the humorous stories of how they avoided law enforcement, just some of the stories of the crew itself and the instances of one time when they were marooned on an island with 30,000 pounds of high-grade marijuana that they built huts out of and slept on for several days till they could move it out of there, and things you won't believe. But there's more to the story that I couldn't even tell because I knew they wouldn't want me to. But I think that's what they're going to take away from it, almost like a Robinson Crusoe story.
John McCaslin, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Mike, for the interview. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, moving on. We've been inundated for the last few weeks by nonstop Michael Jackass coverage and nonstop Michael Jackass music. I'm sick of it, and I'm sure you're also. So let's have some real American music. How about Fanfare for the Common Man by Aaron Copland, a real American composer of merit? See, that's real music. That's music that stirs the soul and makes you want to reach for the heavens. It doesn't take it down to the gutter. Now give me John Coltrane, another great American original. Now that's genius. Thank you. Coltrane could play the sax like no other man who ever lived. Jackson didn't even play an instrument, okay? Now give me another great American musician, a real one, Jimi Hendrix. Now listen to that. That's Jimi Hendrix.
No reason to get excited. The baby kind is bold. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke.
He had his drug problems also. He had skill. He did things with a guitar no one else had ever done before. He just didn't have a good PR agent. And by the way, he wasn't a child molester. And I guess, therefore, he was cast off by those in the media. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation. As you know, Jimi Hendrix didn't have it for little boys. Michael Jackson did. Could that be why Michael Jackson is revered by the people in the media? I don't know. I can't comment on that. I really want to hear George Gershwin. Is this the Taxi song or is this a different one? Okay, let me hear the Taxi song and I'll tell you the story of it. Listen for a minute. Gershwin goes to Paris, 1920s, I believe. He's impressed with the sound of the horns in the Paris taxi cabs of the time. He gets taxi horns from taxi cabs, and he composes an entire piece of music called An American in Paris using horns from taxi cabs. I would consider that innovative. I would consider that genius. And, of course, so did the Americans who fought as the greatest generation. They were actually common men with uncommon minds and uncommon spirits. The average person who went to school in America in the 1920s, 1930s, probably received a greater education than people going to college today. I would think that anyone who graduated grade school by 1939 had a higher education and a greater understanding of the realities of the world than people graduating with a Bachelor of Arts in Sociology from NYU. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Jeff in San Fran, KNEW, thanks for calling. Topic, please.
Yes, Michael, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about the Fox and how I agree with you and feeling worse about the Fox dying and being in pain than Michael Jackson's death, and for one main reason, that Fox is innocent.
Thank you. That's right. The innocent Fox and the mother's cries. She barked for hours calling her cub. The cub was gone. They both ran across the road. The mother made it. The young one got hit by a car and dragged himself across, under the gate, and then laid there with a broken spine or hips or something. The mother was hiding somewhere else, but when the truck took the baby away, probably to euthanize it, the mother didn't suddenly say, "Oh, well, there goes my baby. I wonder if the government could help me." The mother cried throughout the night, barking for her baby.
That is true, Michael. And one other thing I wanted to say, too, talk about all these people holding up Michael Jackson as an idol, and you talk about these generals and stuff like that. You know what? He's no more important than Private Smith, who died defending our country, and they don't get some hero's welcome. You know, my grandfather took bullets in his leg in Japan. Nobody's out there, helping.
That's
him.
Right. Well, no, he was not a hero. He was just an ordinary, useful American for the powers that be. I hear what you're saying, my friend, and I want to go back to the Fox for one quick minute, not to milk it, but I got to tell you something. I go with my emotions sometimes, and I got to ask you something. Let me ask you a question, everyone else listening to the Savage Nation. Do you think there is something wrong with my soul that I was moved more by the mother Fox's cries for her baby, the injured Fox, than for the death of Michael Jackson, who I feel nothing for. Is there something wrong with me? Am I out of step with America? Do I need to be hospitalized and treated by Obama physicians? Do I need to be put on Thorazine or Melaril or some late model drugs in order to feel what the Congress feels? In order to feel what the media feels? Is there something wrong with me? Or do you understand where I am coming from? I'm asking you a dead-on question. I'm not doing it for effect. Florida, Connie, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Michael. How are you? Are you there?
I don't answer how I'm me. You don't know me. Don't ask me that. What's on your mind, please?
Well, my comment is I hear you rambling on about...
I am not rambling. I do not ramble. I give discourses. Perhaps you are used to people who ramble. Do not confuse me with one of those.
You and other media people forget how all the good things that that man did.
Really? Now, what are the good things he did? I guess he provided giraffes for the boys he was playing with?
Oh, no. He ended up providing a lot of money to people overseas. He ended up providing education for people that wanted to go to college. He ended up providing money.
That's very nice, but does that elevate him to the level of a national shrine? Wait a minute, Connie, if you're not receiving, we're going to end the conversation. I did not say he was an evil man. I did not say he was a bad man. I said that the worship is disproportionate to the achievement. Do you understand that? Or is that too unrambling for you?
Well, what he did is he brought a lot of people together.
You didn't hear a word I said, did you? Your ears are clogged with stupidity.
No.
Did you hear what I just said? Would you please rank the man in terms of his greatness? Where would you rank him? Equal to George Washington or higher than George Washington?
I have an education and I own a business.
I ask you a question and you're not answering it. You're shooting your mouth off. I am not the husband who you drove away from you, Connie. So listen again. I asked you to rank Michael Jackson with regard to other American icons. Please do so.
Well, I don't believe the media made him what he is.
You didn't answer me. Apparently, you're too rambling inside your head to even follow a question. I said rank him with regard to other American icons.
I would say he ranks in the middle.
In the middle? Who would be at the top of the rank?
Who would be in the top of the rank? John F. Kennedy.
Why would JFK be at the top?
Why would he be at the top? Because he is at the top. The other one is...
Wait, what do you mean he's at the top? I asked you, why do you put JFK at the top of the rank of iconic Americans? Why him?
Why him? Because he was the president of the United States and he ended up dying for our country.
So because he took a bullet, that made him a great man?
I believe that he was a great man.
And what did he do as a president that you would consider great?
That Roosevelt was a great man.
Again, you're not answering the question, so I'll repeat it. What did JFK achieve or accomplish as a president that would rank him as a great man? What's the matter, Connie? Cat got your tongue? Logic apparently threatens the disorder between your ears. The rambling thoughts that bounce from the left to the right of your brain are suddenly challenged by a logical question for which there is no answer because your brain is disordered. Okay, moving on. Here's what's on michaelsavage.com. Don't pay any attention to the website today, though, because there's nothing about Michael Jackass on it. Dems reveal how they'll pay for tax. Dems reveal how they're going to pay for health care. That's right, taxing soda and a surtax on people who are making more than $250,000. Now, you may say, good, screw the rich. Well, I remind you that people who make more than $250,000 pay over 90% of all the taxes. Be careful who you go after. You may just wind up with one sausage in a butcher store. You see, when the butcher no longer has an incentive to buy the meat, you may be left holding the string. From Reuters, Pope seeks global authority for the economy. He wants to have a world political authority, the Pope does, to manage the global economy. And he wants more government regulation of national economies. It sounds like a joining together of neo-Marxists and the Catholic Church. I'm sorry here. It looks to me like an assemblage of power in the hands of a few power elite. And, of course, the Church is involved because they love illegal aliens. Pay attention, folks. It's about your survival and your freedom. Right now, I don't like the drift. From the New York Times, we learned that Obama dines in Russia, and some Russians don't like that. After passing on dinner with the French president last month, Obama took leave of his Russian hosts to seclude himself in his Moscow hotel. I guess he has a food taster there, and there's no chance of him getting a polonium sushi sandwich. I don't blame him. From another website, Counterterrorism Blog, we have an article, Why Central American Gangs Are a Threat to the United States. Well, of course they are. But according to Homeland Security, it's returning war veterans and talk show hosts. From NBC News, shockingly, we learned that an executive with John Murtha ties took kickbacks, according to federal prosecutors. Ah, that'll go nowhere. A Wisconsin fireworks store has yanked the brand off its shelves after complaints. From a Minnesota Muslim group. Huh! They don't like fireworks? I didn't know that. Finally, don't miss this story from Gallup.com, something you won't read in tomorrow's rag. Gallup says nearly 40% of people say their views have grown more conservative under Barack Insane Obama. Read it on MichaelSavage.com.
Savage.